One of the things you note in John is that Jesus is a miracle worker. The story today is a feeding of 5,000, and even young children know this story. Even people that don't go to church know how Jesus fed the 5,000. And I think it has a particular impact. I'll share more in the message, but because it affected so many people. 5,000 men, you add the women and children, 20,000 people. 20,000 people experienced a miracle all at one time. That's going to make an impact. Some of Jesus' miracles were restorative. He restored sight. He restored the ability to walk. Some of Jesus' miracles were transformative. He transformed the water to wine. By the way, he still works the transformative miracle. He takes a heart of sin, heart of stone, makes it a heart that's pure and clean and soft and tender. This is one of those miracles that is creative. Where nothing was, Jesus created. Let's stand. I'm going to read just a few verses now, and we'll look at the rest of the verses as we proceed this morning. Verse 5, John 6, verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread. I want you to notice these words, is not sufficient. Not sufficient. For them, that every one of them may take a little. Verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Notice, but what are they? What are they among so many? Philip said, the funds are not sufficient. Andrew said, the crowd is too big for what we do have. What is what we have considering how big the crowd is? What both Philip and Andrew said was, it's not enough. It's not enough. I'm going to preach this morning when not enough is enough. When not enough is enough. Let's pray together. Father, you know the needs you desire to meet through your word and through the Holy Spirit here this morning. God, you know the hearts that are hurting. You know the hearts that are in darkness. You know the hearts that are confused. You even know the hearts that are uninterested and apathetic. But Lord, you know how to meet needs. I pray you'd anoint your word, Lord. May it go forth with a power, a penetrating power. Lord, I pray that you would speak and move in such a way that we'll leave here differently, experiencing your power at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. When not enough is enough. During glow-in-the-dark practices, and not the Bible, Andrew, but my Andrew was involved in that. Some nights they went pretty late. And one night I had just gotten into bed and was starting to read, and Andrew called, and he's at Walmart. There was something he needed for glow-in-the-dark. And he said, Dad, I can't believe this. I'm 1/4 short. 1/4 short. And I said, no problem. I'll jump right out of bed and get dressed and drive over to Walmart and bring you the quarter. Nah. I did have the thought at the moment, you know, how many's ever been in a predicament that way? You just didn't have enough. Did you know when you're in that situation, it doesn't matter if it's 1/4 or $5 or $20, the situation is the same. Well, I did tell him, I said, well, take one of your $1 bills and tear it down the middle, and each half will grow a half and you'll have $2. No, I couldn't do that. Jesus could. Isn't that what kind of Jesus did in this miracle? But you see, when you don't have enough, there's nothing you can do. You're in that predicament. Because not enough is not enough. That's what Andrew discovered. That's what we've discovered in life. That's what they discovered on this day. Not enough is simply not enough. How many knows it's an awful position to be in? I'm talking way beyond finances and quarters this morning. I'm talking about life and our soul and our heart. It's an awful position to be in. But I've got great news to preach this morning. Because with Jesus, you're not enough is enough. I said with Jesus in the equation. When you factor in, consider Jesus into your situation. Not enough is enough. This miracle was in all four gospels. All four gospel writers included it. It must be important. I've got to say this before we get too far. We lose sight of what's really happening here. We get excited about Jesus meeting all those folks' need and feeding all those people, and we miss what is really happening here. To get what is happening, we have to think back to another wilderness area where the people were gathered. And God, Brother O'Hare, had miraculously brought his people Israel out of Egypt. But now they're in a wilderness. And in the wilderness, there's no grocery markets, there's no fields, and the people are hungry without food. And they begin to say, we need bread. Where are you going to get bread? At that time, there's probably 2 million people in the wilderness. Where are you going to get bread? And God said to Moses, you tell the people I'm going to send bread. And when they get up in the morning and leave the door of their tent, there's going to be bread from heaven on the ground together. That next morning, they got up and the bread was there. And God had miraculously provided bread for 2 million people. It filled and satisfied them. Let me tell you what's really going to happen. Remember all through chapter 5, Jesus, by saying, I'm the Son of God, was saying he was God. Amen. By feeding this 5,000 people with bread, by creating bread. Amen. Jesus saying, remember it was God that gave bread to your ancestors in the wilderness. Here you are in the wilderness and I am giving you bread. What does that make me? That makes me God. Yeah, hallelujah. You see, the people made the mistake we'll see later in the chapter. They said Moses gave us the bread. Amen. Jesus said Moses never gave you that bread. Moses only announced that it was coming. Listen, Jesus didn't announce that the bread was coming. He provided the bread out of nothing, out of nowhere. He was saying, I'm more than just a carpenter. I'm more than just a man. I am God in your midst. And as God has provided for his people in the past, I, as God, am going to provide for my people. Oh, he was talking way beyond providing bread. He was going to provide salvation, provide eternal life, provide a wholeness and a healing. Oh, I'm glad he's God that provides. That's the message of the 5,000. Jesus is greater than Moses. Amen. Let's get the background here. The story will mean more to us when we see what kind of Savior Jesus is. Look at verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him. And he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now you've got to take in the other gospel writers for this account to see what is really going on. Jesus with his disciples had crossed over the lake to a very remote place. They had did so for the purpose to regroup, to come apart, to regroup, to recharge, to refresh themselves. The crowds have been coming so incessantly to Jesus. This is what the scripture says, that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat. They need rest. They need food. They found a remote place for relaxation, climbed up the slopes, and I've been on the shoreline there, but they climbed up the slopes of the mountain. Somehow the crowd found out. There wasn't enough boats for all of them, so they began to skirt. They began to skirt the shore of Galilee. That was a kind of a hard trip to make. If you've ever followed a lake, you know what it would be like. But as they went, the crowd grew as people came from the villages round about. So you got to get the picture. Here is Jesus and the disciples in desperate need of relaxation. And they're on the side of the mountain relaxing when they look down below them off the slope. And they see a huge crowd of people calling out Jesus' name, looking for him, coming to him. I want to tell you what Jesus and the disciples could have done. They've had the advantage. They've got the high ground. They could have quickly went further into those Golan High mountains and disappeared and got away from that crowd that they detected coming towards him. But instead of that, this is the kind of Savior we had. Instead of getting away before the crowd got there, the other gospel writer said when Jesus saw that crowd, he received them. I said, he received them. He didn't flee. He didn't try to say, you're not going to ruin my vacation. You're not going to ruin my day off. He received them and taught them and healed them. Amen. I said, amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad we serve a Christ like that. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. When he sees us coming, he don't duck away from us. He don't hide from us. He receives it. I want to tell you this morning. I don't know how you came here. Amen. But you're not going to run Jesus off. He's not going to flee and get away. He's going to receive you this morning. Hallelujah. I understood this a little bit years and years ago. We had quite the Sunday morning service. A lot of people praying the altars for salvation. And there was a couple over here somewhere. And as we was praying for this lady that came with the man said, we busted her out this morning. I didn't know what that was all about. After they got through praying, come to find out, he had helped her escape from an institution that morning. She prayed, got something from the Lord. He prayed. Monday, we tried to take some time to relax. We was living in the parsonage of the time. And on Monday morning, I got up and I said, this would be a great day to relax. And I just sat down. Hit my lazy boy and pulled it back and said, I'm just going to rest today. Shut my eyes and I felt somebody looking at me. And I looked over in the window. And there she was looking in at me from the window on the outside. I'm telling you, if there's ever a time I felt like shutting the shades and getting in the back part of the house. I want to tell you, the people that were coming to Jesus were that needy and more. But he didn't shut the blinds and go to the backside. I got to hurry this morning. I just want you to know Jesus is the one that receives us. And he's going to say, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He never ran from the crowd. Let's note this morning, first of all, it was evident that there was not enough. Look at verse 5. When Jesus saw this great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, prove Philip, for Jesus himself knew what he, Jesus, would do. Now listen, when Jesus asked Philip, where are we going to get bread to feed these? Make no mistake, Jesus was not stumped. Jesus was not scratching his head. Jesus was not consternated about what to do. He asked Philip because this is Philip's home turf. This is the area that Philip was raised in. He's asking Philip because he knows what the answer is going to be. Somebody from that area is going to say, Philip's going to say, there's no available source here in this area to meet the need of so great a number of people. Jesus wanted it to be clear before the miracle ever happened that there was no other source. There was no other means. There was no other way of meeting the need. So he called the one man who would know that there's no other source. Amen. Can you imagine what, and Philip does this to a degree. Philip begins to answer Jesus and begins to lecture Jesus on why there wouldn't be enough to meet the need. He thought Jesus was stumped. Where are we going to get the... Jesus is not wringing his hands. Where are we going to get the bread to feed all these people? Philip, please help me. Please let me know. How many ever know sometimes we kind of begin to lecture God on what he needs to do? I like what John's explanation was. He said Jesus asked this. He meant to prove Philip because he already knew. Jesus already knew where the source was. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Could I tell you, when we're wringing our hands and say, I don't know what we're going to do. Amen. I don't know how we're going to have me. Jesus already knows what he's going to do for us. He already knows what's going. He's going to do in our lives. Oh, can you say amen? Can we trust him this morning? Can we trust that he knows what he's going to do? Amen. I thought of Philip laying this all out before the Lord, and I remember experience I had. I went with a missionary to France, and a pastor picked us up. And the pastor and the missionary sat in the front seat. And the missionary mentioned, I was teaching Bible school. He mentioned that one of the classes that I taught was philosophy. And so this pastor who's driving, he asked me some questions about philosophy. And I said, oh, this is nice. And so I began to really expound and elaborate and really share about the question of philosophy. And I noticed the missionary got real quiet and had a smile on his face. And so I just went ahead. I just was really covering all this. And later that night when we were alone, the missionary said to me, you know, brother so-and-so, Joseph, I believe it was. He said, you know, yeah. You know, when he asked you that question, yeah. Did you know he has his doctorate in philosophy? And here I was telling him about philosophy. Here Philip's trying to tell Jesus what the lay of the land is. Jesus already knew what the lay of the land is. Sometimes we're like that. We need to ask, but sometimes we begin to school the Lord, begin to lecture the Lord on he just really doesn't understand our problem. He just doesn't really understand our need. He just doesn't really understand. Hey man, he knows what he's going to do. Not only does he know your need, he knows what he's going to do with it. There was not enough because the resources were too small. Not enough money to buy. Look at verse 7. Philip said 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. Amen. Philip did the math. He took the size of the crowd, 5,000 men with women and children, that's 20,000. How much would it cost to buy lunch for 20,000 people? If we knew a place to buy it, Philip said, we wouldn't have enough money to buy it. Why? Because it would take 200 penny worth. That's the penny is the old British, the Greek is denarii. Did you realize a denarii was one day's wages? And he said it would take 200 days wages to feed this people, three quarters of a year. If you took the medium income right now, it would take about $45,000. Philip did the math. He said it'd take $45,000 to feed this crowd. And our bag doesn't have $45,000 in it. And even if we had that, it would just give everybody just a little bit or not enough. Amen. It's not enough. It'll take $45,000 or it'll take Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. But what he was saying is there's not enough. The resources are too small. You know, sometimes we do know that there's a solution. We have no way of obtaining that. Amen. For instance, your car engine blew up. There's a place to take that. There's a mechanic to take that. But when you sit down and count how much it's going to cost, that is off limits to you. It's not possible. You so many times we know the solution, but we don't know how to get to the solution. Amen. Jesus does. Jesus does. Amen. Secondly, we discover there's not enough because the need is too great. There's not only enough to buy the food, there's not enough to go around. Look at verse 8. Andrew, this is Peter's brother, said, now, listen, Lord, there's a boy here. He's got five barley loaves and two small fishes. Look at this question and ask yourself, have we not asked this of the Lord in different forms? But what are they among so many? What good is a little I have going to make? How am I going to make any difference? Amen. What are they among so many? In other words, there's not enough to go around. At least Andrew investigated. At least he looked around. He took inventory and concluded there was less than was needed. Less that was sufficient. How many would know this morning that there are a lot of not enoughs in life? Andrew looked at that boy's lunch, looked at the crowd and said, not enough. How many times have we done that? Look at what we had. Look at the need. And there's not enough in life. Amen. Maybe you want to raise a hand if I cover your not enough. Not enough sleep. Not enough money. Rest of your line. Not enough time. We've got a hidden bank account. Not enough time. Not enough percentage in the GPA. Amen. Could have left that one out. Not enough food in the cabinets. Not enough bills. Not enough friends. Not enough courage. Not enough wisdom. Not enough love. There's lots of not enoughs in life. But let me tell you the worst not enough. The worst not enough is the spiritual one. Would you realize spiritually you don't have enough? That's the worst. Not enough. Not enough to please God. Not enough to be righteous. Not enough to make it. Not enough to keep on going. And as we're disturbed about that, I want to remind us that whatever we have spiritually, it's not enough. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We none have enough. There's not enough in my efforts to please God. There's not enough in my worship that would be deserving of Him. There's not enough in my sermon to do anyone any good. There's not enough in my song to impress God. Hallelujah. But I'm glad for this story because it tells us when we don't have enough, if we'll include Jesus, He'll provide what we're missing. I said, we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when there was not enough, He brought salvation. He brought wholeness. He brought eternal life. Too often we see we don't have enough, so we do nothing. It was evident to the disciples and everyone there's not enough. And so the disciples begin to make suggestions. In the other account, they said, look, we're out here in the wilderness, and it's soon going to be dark. Here's what the disciples said. Here was their solution. Send them away. Let them buy for themselves. Let them figure this out on their own. Let them come up with the solution. Send them away. And I love Jesus' response. They need not depart. Lord, there's not enough. They need not depart. They never factored in Jesus. He was the reason they didn't need to depart. I see people come with great needs. Great needs. I see people with not enough. Not enough in their hearts. Not enough salvation. Not enough in their homes. And sometimes my heart is aching because they don't have enough. Amen. They aren't making it. They don't have what it takes to make it. Their soul is lacking. Their heart is lacking. Their family and marriage is lacking. They're empty and needing. But I want you to know, may we never, because we don't have to, may we never have the attitude, we'll just go on, figure it out your own. May we never be sending people away because they don't have enough. May we have an attitude, they don't need to depart. We may not have it in our pocket to meet their need, but we know a Savior. We know a Jesus that when there's not enough. Amen. Secondly, this morning, the not enough was given to Jesus. You have to understand some things about this boy's lunch. When it says five loaves, don't think wonder. Not loaves like we had. These were like little flat biscuits, kind of like small tortillas. Five loaves, that's what the loaf is. Don't you think that big old loaf of bread, it wasn't. And two small fishes. Don't think of that bass you wish you'd caught 5-6 pounds. I'm talking about sardine size. Andrew asked the question, look at this meager lunch. What is this amongst so many? What good is not enough when it's not enough? We find a very simple answer. Give it to Jesus. Mark lets us know that when Andrew said, "What are these?" Jesus said, "Bring them to me." When not enough is not enough, the thing to do is to bring what you do have to Jesus. To give what you do have to Jesus. And you will find out, Jesus is saying, if you will bring it to me, you'll find out what I can do with your not enough. Listen to me this morning. Jesus doesn't want what you don't have. He wants what you have. Jesus doesn't want what you can't do. He wants what you can do. Jesus doesn't want the fullness that you lack. He just wants you to bring your emptiness to Him. Hallelujah. I asked myself the question, what if this young lad had refused to give up his lunch? He wouldn't have the story he had that he told to his grandkids. He had never been blessed. And I don't know how God would have done it, but he would have been the cause for that people's need being met or a part of that process. But because one boy willingly let them take his lunch to Jesus, look what happened. And I begin to think there are some folks, if they would give up that one thing, not only would it bless them and help them, it would bless so many other people too. Maybe it's a talent, an ability, time, whatever. If you'd give it, you'd be blessed. But maybe it's even a bad thing that really needs to be brought to Jesus. Bitterness, emptiness, whatever it is. If you would give that to Him, not only would you be blessed, but a multitude could be blessed as well. The not enough was given to Jesus. Verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. Everything in Scripture is important, right? There was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. That tells us a whole lot. Knowing that area, amen, grass doesn't grow all year long. It burns up. And when it says there was much grass in that place, it was the time that grass was growing. And that tells us two things. Number one, it was springtime. And number two, it was green. Now listen, Jesus said, bring that to me and make the people sit down on the grass. You know what I immediately begin to hear? How many knows? How many can guess what I begin to hear? When Jesus said, make them sit down on that grass, what did I begin to hear? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restore. If there was ever fulfillment of that verse and those verses, and there has been many times, it was that day when Jesus told the disciples, have them sit down on the grass. Jesus had brought them to a green pasture. Oh, hallelujah. If He brought them to a green pasture, He can bring you to a green pasture. You need refreshed. You need renewed. He's got a green pasture. I also notice something else, just my way of thinking. And having seen that area, he never said, sit down on the barren ground, sit down in the dirt, sit down on the rocks. Yes, he had him sit down, but he made sure it was a good place to sit. Hallelujah. Isn't that the kind of God we serve? Amen. The Lord is our shepherd. In verse 11, then let me say one more thing here. Amen. There was a time. Let me try that again. I have one more thing to say here. There was a time between their sitting and their being served. And I begin to think some of them may have got tired of sitting and waiting and just left. Too many people have done that. Amen. They're sitting. They seem to be going nowhere. Nothing seems to be happening. And they never realize there's a time between the sitting and being served. I tell you, if the Lord has told you to sit, sit until the serving starts happening. The bread is coming. That's what I'm trying to say. The bread is coming. Amen. And Jesus, verse 11, took the loaves, and when he had given
thanks. And when he had given thanks, however not enough you bring, however little you bring, he will take it. Jesus said, bring it to me, and he took it. Oh, I got excited about this. Can I tell you one more time? However little you have to bring, bring it to him, and he will take it. He won't refuse it. He'll accept it. Amen. He took the loaves and he blessed them. Amen. The other gospel writers make clear that Jesus blessed the bread and the fish. You don't know what you're going to do if you're not enough, but bring it to Jesus and let him bless it. He wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your family, bless your mind, bless your work, bless your worship. Bring it to him. He'll take it. He'll bless it. He'll multiply it. Verse 11. And Jesus took these loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise as much as the fish, as much as they would. I gave ever other reasons when I began the message, but I believe there's another reason that all four disciples mentioned this miracle. And the other reason I'm going to give is because Jesus had them participate in the miracle. Yes, he did. Had them pass it on. I got to think about this. I didn't finish the math. But if there's 20,000 people there, if Jesus just did it like we see so often and broke the bread and broke the bread, even if he did that once a second, that would have been hours. For that was broken. For enough. Now he broke and blessed and all of that to let the disciples see what he wanted done. But I believe a lot of that miracle Jesus was passing through the disciples. He multiplied the breads. You take this, Peter. You take this, Andrew. And whether they put it in their basket or broke it themselves, they found that every time they reached in the basket, took for another person bread. Bread. Their basket never ran out. No wonder these four writers remember this miracle. Jesus had let them participate in it. Now listen, I want to get something clear because of the way it is with we humans. Jesus never had them or gave them the responsibility of producing the bread. He only gave them the responsibility of distributing the bread. Because listen, if you're really a sincere Christian, and you do anything in life or for people or for ministry, you realize you really don't have what it takes. I realize that this morning preaching. If you sing and you got a sincere heart for God, you don't have what it takes. And I'm not just talking about ministers. Any Christian, if you're really humble, if you really got the good, you realize you don't have what it takes to help people, bless people, speak words of wisdom, strengthen people, make a difference. You don't. But listen, Jesus never asked us to produce the bread. He only asked us to distribute it. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, you're not enough. It's not enough. Take it to Jesus. He knows how to multiply it. God has called us to distribute what he passes through our lives. And if you will let him, Jesus will put things into your hands. He'll put things into your heart. He'll put things into your head that you can use to help others, bless others, and save others. Hallelujah. And then in our story, Jesus made the not enough. He made it enough. Verse 12. And when they were filled, he saith unto disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. All four writers noted this. When they were filled, 5,000 men, 20,000 counting the women and children, and five loaves and two fishes had filled them. My, that would hardly fill the young boy's stomach. But it filled 20,000 people. I'm glad God does things the way he does. He didn't just provide a snack for them. He provided a meal. He didn't give them just enough to hold off the hungry wolf till they got home. Amen. Like you do a kid, here, eat this until you make it to supper just to get through. No, he gave them enough that it filled them. Could I remind you, you can partake of the things of this world and everything it has to offer. And when it's all said and done, you're empty. Empty, empty, empty. But if you'll take that comes from Jesus' hands, it
will fill you. It will satisfy you. It'll fill the void and the emptiness when it comes from His hand. Oh, glory to God. We got some bread to be given out. Hallelujah. Not only did it fill them, three of the writers noted that all ate and all were filled. In other words, all, not a one was left out. If any did not get any bread or fish, it's because they refused it when it was passed to them, or they left before it came down their row. But all ate. Amen. When we got to this area, this shore of the Sea of Galilee, they had a special meal prepared for us. St. Peter's fish. Amen. And there, amen, they had on the plates, they brought out